This is the Faith Debate, a theological roundtable gab fest with the Mix Master as the master of ceremonies and the notorious Triple B, the big bridge builder. Can we build it? Yes, we can. The Faith Debate is a free-for-all forum.
Hoo-ah!
Where faith community leaders wrestle over the truth.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
In less than 30 minutes, learn more about what really matters than others learn in a month.
Ooh, how convenient.
Are you ready for a clash of ideas? Are you ready for the sound of freedom?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Let's get ready to rumble.
Ha! Yeah!
In this corner, weighing in with a Master of Divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, the Faith Debate Master of Ceremonies, Troy Skinner.
You got a moron.
And in this corner, weighing in as a pastor, teacher, and founder of Bridges, connecting needs and resources in the local community,
ooh, mama,
the notorious big bridge builder, John Switzer.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
You warmed up over there, John?
Now I feel like I need to come to the show in a different mode than I did previously.
You're not just the big bridge builder. You're the notorious big bridge builder.
I need to pay more attention to how that presents you so that I
can
rip on you. What does it say about you?
It says I'm the mix master.
The mix master. What does that mean? How do I rip on that? You totally set me up, you know, just to be ripped on. And so
that's what I'm here for.
Weighing in.
All right. So last week we had a show that was just Jonathan and I doing a recap, a kind of a post-game analysis on a series of shows we intended to have out there in the public domain that never got recorded and probably all the best. Yeah. I think God protected us from ourselves on that.
He protected you, the listener.
It wasn't exactly a shining moment necessarily on how we – because part of the motivation for doing this show – one is to talk about things that are interesting to us.
Yeah.
Part of it is to make sure that different points of view are fairly represented and people are honest about how they represent those points of view, because there's so much of that needed.
Yeah.
So many people are pretending or lying about what they – because they're playing it safe or they just pretend they agree when they don't. We live a Facebook reality.
We need to
reality.
Get past that, yeah.
But then the other thing is, okay, well, if you're going to get past that Facebook reality and you're going to be real and you're going to be authentic and you can take a chance to show what you really think about something, well, you're hanging yourself out there to dry if you're not careful. And so there's a bit of an art and certainly a respect and a sensibility about how to go about doing that. And so I'm hoping that in the way we conduct ourselves, talking about some things that are really important to us and maybe to you, that we disagree on, sometimes vehemently, and do so in such a way that is winsome and good-natured and patient. And I'm not sure that we did that so well when we were recording those podcasts that are now lost forever.
Yeah. It was one of the toughest ones for me.
So it's probably good that it got lost.
You know, can I just say this? In our current vitriolic conversation, politically, religiously, across the nation, I feel like you and I were prophesying that 15 years ago when we started the show, when we said people need to be able to have conversations about significant disagreements about, you know, religion and politics or whatever it is, cultural, you know, distinctions, or else we're not going to be able to have those conversations. And that's the way it's turned out in our immediate contemporary society. People can't have those discussions anymore. They don't know how to be respectful. They don't know how to get inside of somebody else's worldview and why they think the way that they think. And so instead, we just all throw stones at each other.
And part of the problem is that people don't know why they think what they think. They might not even really know what they think.
So if you ask, it feels threatening to them that you would even question.
It wasn't too long ago that Jimmy Kimmel, well, you know, I can take him or leave him, but I happened to see a clip from his late night show where he did a man on the street thing.
Okay.
And he walked up to random people and asked them, and I'm not kidding, this is like was really on his show.
Yeah,
walked
this
up
is
to
scary.
These random, you know, 20 and 30 somethings and said, literally the question was, can you name a book?
A book.
A book. And Kimmel even sets it up by saying, look, they could have said the Bible, right? They could have said, you know,
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, they could have said anything at all.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Right, they could have said anything at all. Any book would have qualified. And he talked to, like, I don't know, 6, 8, 10, 12 people. I don't know. None of them could name a book.
Yeah, but they could name a website.
I'm sure they could. They could name a movie. They could name a TV show. They could name a favorite song.
But they couldn't name a book.
They couldn't name a book. Well, if you're not reading, you're not really engaging your mind in a way that's going to help you formulate what you really think about things.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyways, that's been prophesied by enough people, you know, that it's going to create a dumb society.
Speaking of shows, that was a reference to a TV show, Jimmy Kimmel. There's another show. We don't have it on our radio station, but it's a nationally syndicated show. They've got about 100 affiliates around the country.
Almost as big as we are.
Yeah, almost. Not quite. But, you know, if they keep trying, they can aspire.
Man, we need to
our
encourage
form of greatness.
Those guys.
So they have been around for a couple of years. I'm not sure exactly when they started the show. I first came to know who they are because the guy that does the show used to be the executive producer for the Laura Ingraham show.
Oh, okay.
Laura Ingraham used to be on this station and actually, name dropper, I personally know Laura, not like well, but I used to work for Westwood One, which was at the time syndicating her show.
Okay.
And she was wonderful to work with. She was a big supporter of the affiliate sales team, and she would actually check in.
Yeah.
How are things going? Anything can do to help you with the radio stations?
Wow.
So that was cool. And she always remembered my name because at the time she had a dog named Troy.
Very nice.
So I was like, so I always have like a special spot in my heart for Laura Ingraham. I heard that her former executive producer, who was the executive producer, I believe, back in her Westwood One days, started doing his own show. I was like, let me check that out. So I started following him online a little bit. Anyway, their show is called Our American Stories.
Okay.
And they feature stories about them. And some of them they produce themselves, these sound effects and voice actors and things like that.
Okay.
And other things, it's just interviews with people. They invite people to submit their stories. Share us a story about life in America.
Nice.
And if we can, we'll use it on the air. And so I'm listening to the show.
So they tend to be feel-good stories?
No, not always.
Or they could be negative.
No, yeah,
they could be harsh.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk about people who died horrible deaths because of poor choices they made. Some of them are eulogies. You know, story in the form of eulogy.
Yeah, it's just life in the U.S.
Exactly.
Like that video that you guys were telling me about earlier. It was a video about America.
Yeah. Right, this is America.
Presented pretty negative view, and so the question was, how honest was it?
By the way, I know the power our voices can have. We just mentioned a video that's out there called This Is America. I'm going to throw a disclaimer out there. If you're what's that? If you want to watch it, that's fine, but just be warned, it's very graphic.
Mm.
So if you're troubled by graphic visuals, you don't want to watch it.
Okay,
so just know that, okay? Anyway, so I submitted a story.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm not sure if they'll air it because it's got kind of a religious bent to it.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that they were including some stories that had a religious bent.
And yours was a negative story?
And I thought, you know what? They might. So I submitted a story and here's what I was surprised by. I was listening to their podcast and all of a sudden I heard this. This is their bumper music coming out of a commercial break.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, and we love to tell stories about everything here on this show. And we also love to tell your stories when you send them to us, and we promise we'll do that. That's why it's called Our American Stories, because it's you and us making this show together. And this next one comes from a listener named Troy Skinner, who sent in a recording of this powerful testimony that he gave at his local church.
My son Tyler was born very sick. One of my earliest memories following his birth is his breathing. His entire body convulsed so violently in and out that his ribcage practically touched his spinal column. I wouldn't have believed it was possible for a human body to do that if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. He was struggling to force down every breath, and he was failing in the struggle because his lungs weren't able to do their job yet. I thought for sure he would die within minutes. He didn't. Over the course of a few days, his breathing steadied, but his skin had purple dots all over it, and it was yellow, really yellow, caused by elevated bilirubin in his blood. You might know this as having jaundice. Now, bilirubin is the junk that's supposed to be cleaned out of our blood, and a normal bilirubin count is supposed to be something like 0.00000001. I mean, essentially, it should be zero. And sometimes a baby is born with an elevated bilirubin and their jaundice number is a 1 or a 2, maybe a more dangerous 3 or a 4. Well, Tyler's bilirubin number was well over 3 or 4 and kept going up. The liver is what cleans the garbage out of the blood, and Tyler's liver wasn't working, and so his jaundice number kept climbing. The doctors assured us that as long as the number didn't go into double digits, we'd be okay. And then it went into double digits. So then they explained, well, there's two parts to bilirubin. There's direct and indirect. And as long as direct doesn't go into double digits, you'll be okay. And the direct went into double digits. And now his skin wasn't yellow. It was green. I mean, seriously, green. Sometimes he would have this scrunched up look on his face and he looked like the Grinch who stole Christmas. And I would joke, it's not easy being green. Bilirubin climbed to well over 20. And that's when I asked the doctors, how high can it go? They said, we're asking that same question. They checked the databases. They called around other hospitals and experts in the field trying to see what the deal was. And they said they couldn't find any record of anybody ever having a number so high. And it kept going up all the way to 30.5. Tyler had a liver biopsy, underwent liver surgery. Consultation was sought from leading medical experts all around the nation. Nothing helped. We thought for sure that Tyler would die within weeks. He didn't. Tyler was sent home from the neonatal intensive care unit after 2 months, and we're convinced at this day that he was sent home to die. He had 8 specialists needing to see him every week. Most of them needed to see him 2-3 times a week, and so every single day we took him to doctor's appointments, 2 or 3 appointments a day. He was on 12 different medications. We used to have to feed him by using a syringe to shoot the food down the back of his throat because he was too weak to suck and swallow. He'd be back in the hospital in about a month. He had biliary atresia surgery and bilateral hernia repair and hypospadias surgery and strabismus surgery and exploratory procedures and gastrointestinal intervention for reflux, esophagitis, and thrush and other issues, both serious and relatively minor. And because of his condition, he needed to eat every 2 hours. And so we'd spend an hour getting his food, medicines prepared, and then we'd get him into his stomach with that syringe, and then we'd spend the next hour cleaning up his projectile vomit. All day. Every day. Tyler was sick. Everyone thought for sure he'd die within months. But he didn't. And the biggest threat to his life I haven't even mentioned yet. Tyler had hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and pulmonary stenosis. His arteries were way too narrow, and in the wall of his heart muscle was way too thick. 4 times thicker than it should have been. He weighed 5 pounds, and his heart was as thick as that of a 40-year-old man. We'd gotten to know our cardiologist pretty well at this point. We're seeing him pretty much daily. So we had a relationship, and we asked him, be straight with us. For our sanity, we needed an honest prognosis. And he hesitated, as doctors do when they're asked that sort of a question. But then he said, there was no medical reason why Tyler was alive even at that moment. And he would likely not see his first birthday. And there was just no way he would see his second. He should have died in less than 2 years. And he didn't. Why? God had a plan and a purpose for this boy born sick. Fast forward a number of years, we have a 10-year-old boy who still couldn't eat solid foods. Everything had to be put through the blender first, pureed. He had recently learned to feed himself with a spoon, so that was good. We prayed in the name of Jesus Christ that, and with not just us, it was a dedicated circle of prayer warriors praying with us for years. And when Tyler was 13, he finally was able to eat non-blenderized food for the first time. We threw a party. We celebrated this answer to prayer with all of our prayer warrior friends. We invited them all over with an official invitation. We had an invitation blown up to poster size, and everybody who attended the party signed it. If you come to our house, it is one of the first things you will see. It hangs in our foyer as a constant reminder that God answers prayer. So the lung problem went away, resolving itself on its own, so the doctors told us. The liver problem with the impossibly high bilirubin count went away, in spite of the failed efforts of the medical community. Many of his physical and developmental issues were successfully addressed by highly trained professionals, doctors and therapists, with unreal effort, love, and patience from my wife, Dina, sustained by God's grace. And now, after 13 years, he could eat real food. Amazing answers to prayer. But there was still this ticking time bomb, his heart. The hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and the pulmonary stenosis were not getting better. He saw specialists in Orlando, New York, Syracuse, Buffalo, Baltimore, D.C., the best in the world at what they do, and there was nothing to be done. Every few months, he needed to go see his local cardiologist, a beautiful Muslim man, Dr. Hassan Abdallah. And every visit, Dina would say, "We're praying for a miracle, Dr. Abdallah." And he'd smile and encourage. And then Tyler started having these episodes where he couldn't get his breath, and he would come into our room at night, panicked, turning gray. Dina would hold him and rock him and would pump his arms and legs, trying to get blood flow and take him into the steaming shower, anything to try to help. And Dr. Abdallah then started asking to see Tyler every month. And every visit, Dina would say, "We're praying for a miracle, Dr. Abdallah." Then the doctor sought second and third opinions, sending Tyler to medical facilities throughout the region. And suddenly, Dr. Abdallah stopped accepting payment for Tyler's visits. And we couldn't understand why. We found out later, it's because Tyler was dying, and the doctor didn't have the heart to tell us. His heart was breaking for us, as Tyler's heart, after years of struggle, was finally ready to just call it quits. That's why he couldn't breathe sometimes. That's why he turned gray. He was in heart failure. There was nothing to be done. All of the doctors had exhausted all of the options that their training and technology gave them. And yet Dina kept trudging Tyler to doctor visit after doctor visit. And after seeing so many echocardiograms and EKGs, she became an expert in reading them herself. And it was time for another visit to Dr. Abdallah. And as usual, Dina greeted him by saying, "We're praying for a miracle, Dr. Abdallah." And as usual, Dr. Abdallah politely smiled, got to work. And as he performed the echocardiogram, Dina watched as usual, but somehow it didn't seem as usual. The echo looked different to Dina. And Dr. Abdallah noticed too. He kept looking and he adjusted his view and he checked where he'd already checked. Then he went back again. He kept performing the procedure and taking much longer than usual. And Dina began to think she understood why. And the doctor turned to Dina and said, "Do you see that?" And Dina said, "Yeah, look to her. Like the image of Tyler's heart was normal." Dr. Abdallah removed his glasses and wiped a tear from his cheek. And he looked Dina straight in the eyes and he said, "Who do you pray to?" She answered, "Jesus. We pray to Jesus." And Dr. Abdallah said, "Well, your Jesus has healed your son." And they embraced and they enjoyed a long cry together, and they rejoiced together at what Jesus had done, one of them having just been reminded of who Jesus is, and the other one having just been introduced to who Jesus is.
And what a beautiful story, the Skinner's story, but in the end, an American story, how we really live, folks, who we are, how beautiful we are, and my goodness, the heart we have. This is Our American Stories.
Well, actually, this is the Faith Debate on 930 WFMD. If you joined in progress, I set that up. My son was, if you listen to the story, he was born incredibly sick, and it's literally a miracle that he's still alive. And his heart is, to this day, 100% healthy. There's no issues there. And it was in the context of a sermon, and there's a national show called Our American Stories, as you just heard the host, Lee Habib, say. And they basically solicit stories as if people want to send in their story, Some people send in eulogies, or some people send in stories about their coming out of a bad drug addiction, or their story of childhood abuse and how they've made something of their life in spite of that, or because of that even. A lot of it's business stories, people, how they started their business and grew to be successful.
Yeah.
But they also feature stories about like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and, you know, that Fun. Sort of thing too. Yeah. Or World War II and that
history.
Sort of stuff. Yeah, history.
Histories.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought, well, I'll send that in and see what they do with it. And then they
put it on there.
They had to edit it a little bit. You might have heard some of those edits, but they put it on there. And I got to tell you, I was very satisfied that they left on the part that to me is the most important part, which is, prayer works in a sense. I'm not a fan of that phrase exactly, but prayer is prayer can be an effective thing. Is always effective in some way, but God hears your prayer.
Well, that's what you're meaning to say. Not that prayer works, but that God heals.
Right, but not just prayer, any old prayer.
Yeah,
but prayer in the name of, by the power of the Savior Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so I had a little bit of concern that they might edit it in such a way that that part would be absent when it was heard on this national show that's on like 100 stations.
And they left it in.
And they left it in, which that's awesome, right? Yeah. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, there's a discomfort with the name of Jesus, and as a result with the discussion of who is Jesus and what is the significance of what he did in dying and rising from the dead in our culture, that I almost feel embarrassed, you know, like here on the faith debate, talking about Jesus in the context of a real life situation of how he responded to your prayers and healed Tyler, your son. And yet this aspect of who God is, that his son died not just to forgive us of our sins, but to take away the effect of sin, which includes disease and includes, you know, poverty, which includes, you know, all of the brokenness, abuse and fighting, right? His intention was not just to die, you know, to forgive us, but to restore us. And even though, you know, like, it's important to remember that sometimes God says no, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says wait, that in this situation, God heard your prayer and he healed Tyler. It's very, you know, amazing.
Yeah, it's incredibly
very emotional story.
Yeah, it's incredibly dramatic. And obviously, you can imagine living through it was incredibly dramatic. Yeah. And if that sounded familiar to you, the entire message, the entire sermon within which that story is told has aired during the faith debate time slot in the past.
Yeah.
That unedited version is out there somewhere probably. I'm not sure if it's still up on our website or not, but I think that part of why they I had hoped that they might not only feature the story but include the Jesus aspect is I've been listening to enough of their podcasts, their show via podcast, to get a sense. I believe that Lee Habib, the host of the show, that part of his personal story is that he was an ardent atheist and has now come to have a belief in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So that's part of his personal story. So I think that that makes him sensitive to.
And did you say that he comes from Lebanon originally?
Yeah, I think either his parents or his grandparents came over from Lebanon.
Yeah.
So I don't think he himself did. He might be second generation or something.
Nevertheless, I've heard stories of people that have come out of that part of the world and just feel like, you know, there's so much war over religion, you know, that science is a better way to go.
Well, we're going to have to put a wrap on it. Thanks so much, John. Thank you for listening. This is The Faith Debate on 930 WFMD. Find us online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Until next week, God bless.